Wilson's just, you know, he's tired of being asked the question. He feels he's under the fire. He thinks that, you know, his ability's in question. So he throws this kid under the bus. And that's what I don't like about Ron Wilson. Nazem Kadri's going to read that today, and it could have been handled a lot better other than, hey, Nazem's trying hard down there. We just don't think he's ready for the NHL. That's what bugs me about Ron Wilson. I write a piece today on CanadianThinker.com that if you're going to boot this guy, I think he should be replaced with the amazing, the wonderful, the fantastic Dougie Gilmore.
You think Dougie should get a shot at the big job?
Well, I think he should, because I think the timing's right, because the Leafs are sort of in a developmental stage. And, you know, it all comes down to effort. Having said that, I'll give this Ron Wilson team credit for it. At least they appear to be trying every game. But I just think a guy like Dougie Gilmore, who was a warrior and is a nice guy and was loved by his teammates, you know, he's been coaching for the past year and a bit in Kingston. He's probably got it down to the extent that he needs to, because he's been around hockey in the NHL so long. How do you, as a player, not try 100% or 110% or whatever the term is when you go back to the bench and Dougie Gilmore standing behind that bench? Did that guy ever take a shift off in his life?
No, he didn't. And I'm just like you, Freddie, being a Leaf fan, of course, a huge Doug Gilmore fan. My only concern with him would be that he is held in such high esteem with Leaf fans that if it started to crumble, it would just look so bad on him. And I think what they would maybe want to do is you look at a guy like Bob Bogner out of the Windsor Spitfires. He took a young team, took him to two Memorial Cups. Now he's working the bench with the Blue Jackets. He's not the head coach yet, but I would like to see Dougie behind the bench, maybe as an assistant coach.
Okay, yeah, you know, valid point. You know, maybe through my love for Dougie, I'm, you know, a little over the top and overreaching. I admit that could be the situation. All I know is, personally, I've had enough of Ron Wilson. But your point is well made about Gilmore. You're right. Maybe bring him along like you would bring a young player along. Granted. But I would like to see a change there with the Leafs. I just don't like the attitude, you know. And in Toronto, there's this prevailing feeling that Burke as an American, Wilson as American, they just think they're smarter than everybody else up here. We're all stupid. They know. They got it down.
Yeah,
you know?
My concern with Doug Gilmore being the head coach is he's coaching right now with the Kingston Frontenacs, and they have struggled as well in the last couple of years that he's been there. He's made a playoffs, lost in the first round quite easily. So he may not even have the resume quite yet of being a NHL head coach.
Yeah, Matt, you're just afraid that he'll come up to the NHL, and every time the Leafs play the Wings, he'll kick their ass.
I agree, Freddie. 100%.
That's what you're afraid of.
You've hit the nail on the head right there, Freddie. You know what's interesting with coaching in the NHL is it's really a fine line when it comes to the respect and love that a coach will get, and I think a lot of it has to do with the way they get the job. Like, there's been many coaches who have come and gone with the Toronto Maple Leafs, from Punch Imlach up, or Roger Nielsen, and Pat Quinn, and Pat Burns, and all these guys, and some of them get respect no matter what the team is doing, and others don't. And I think the problem with Ron Wilson is it's always been perceived that he was put in that job because Brian Burke knew he was coming, and it was all pre-planned, and that Ronnie Wilson is only there because he's Brian's buddy.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, listen, you know the term perception is 99% of reality. That could be bull roar, and there may be nothing to that, but really that's the perception, and that's something that Wilson has to live with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because a lot of times in any job,
no doubt about it,
and you've worked in radio stations where someone is there that everybody kind of knows probably isn't ready for the gig, but through relationships and friendships finds themselves in a pretty decent position, and they never get the respect from their co-employees, and that might be the same. You know that, huh, Freddie?
Yes, I mean, you want to name names?
No. Are you guys talking about me right now?
No, we'll leave that alone.
I'm just waiting for Phil Kessel to come into the locker room one day when a catered meal has been brought in and say, I wouldn't feed this beef to my dog.
That's an amazing story, Randy Moss doing that. I heard a conversation on a sports radio show this morning, you know, someone defending him, saying, you know, he's a great player, so what if... You know what? I agree completely. You have to balance talent with class. Mm-hmm. And for these people to come in with a catered meal, from a restaurant that a few of the other players really like to come in and say that type of thing. I don't want him in my locker room. I don't care how he can catch a football. Get the hell out.
Yeah,
that's my attitude.
He's a cancer. All right, Freddie, before we let you go, politics, United States, finally they're done with their voting. All those commercials where they just slag one another can go away. But this is what drives me nuts about American politics. Now Barack Obama is stuck for the second half of his term, and he's not going to be able to do a damn thing. Why can't they just vote a president in, let him do his term, let him try and do his job? Why does it constantly, as soon as the guy's got the gig, they got to beat up on him?
I understand, but you know, Craig, that can happen in Canada as well with by-elections. You know, you can send a message to the sitting government. And, you know, in our minority situation, you know, our government right now, I mean, their hands are tied. I mean, there's a lot of things they'd like to do, but they can't do it because they wouldn't want to be brought down by the other two parties. And we've seen it in recent history. So, or if there's a majority here by one or two seats, and then there's a couple of by-elections, and you could lose that majority. I mean, we, to some respect, we can be in similar situations. In the United States, though, it's just a more resounding statement like last night. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's so much in practice, whether Obama really is going to be affected at the end of the day, or it's the speculation and it's the right-wing media in the United States trumpeting this as, you know, the end of Obama. But that goes a long way with the media, because if casual voters, those, you know, who really aren't into politics but decide they're going to cast a vote, if the weeks leading up all they hear is Obama's no good, they're going to lose the midterm elections, they take that attitude into the ballot box and sometimes just vote with what they think is the prevailing wind or the majority. So it's I actually enjoy it, because I just think it's a fascinating system.
And it does seem as though that when they continue on with the Republicans and Democrats as the two opposite parties, that they'll continue to argue whichever side the other side supports and go back and forth like that. I get a lot of American commercials and see that there's a governor that is in Michigan that's a Republican that used to approve bills to allow slavery again, and just all these ridiculous accusations that I'm with Craig. Those commercials can stop. I've not seen a positive commercial out of any of these candidates.
Well, look, and I've said it many times too, I'm a Canadian conservative, but I have more in common as a Canadian conservative with American Democrat than I do a Republican. Mm-hmm. Because, and again, that Fox News, I mean, it's entertaining to watch, but those guys, they're dangerous.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
They really are.
Yeah.
The crap that they spread, you know, and again, I've said it before, that Sean Hannity guy, you know, trumpets himself as a great American. He's not. He's bad for that country, because all the way he twists things around and the way he delivers misinformation to skew it against Democrats, you're not a patriot, mm-hmm. pal. You're harming your country by doing that.
Yeah, and now you got Tea Party members goose-stepping all over America. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's the new world with so many cable channels and so many news channels, and they need programming, and it's got to be compelling. You look at the crap that they put on Fox and the numbers they have. They're crushing CNN and MSNBC, yet they're probably, you know, in their slogan, you know, fair and balanced, we give you the facts, you decide. That's a load of crap.
Yeah, that's right. Fair and balanced news. That's right. That is their slogan.
It is. And believe me, I'm a Canadian conservative, but hey, I'm not stupid. I watch that stuff. It's dangerous stuff.
Yeah.
Because to the average American goober, he takes that stuff and uses it like it's true or real.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Freddie, we got to move along. As always, we make CanadianThinker.com a daily read.
Loving you, boys.